Where we were last week, we were looking at Tehillim Ayin Aleph, the Al Tash Sefenil Eid Zikna, Don't Cast Me at My Old Age. This idea of David looking out at his life falling apart, putting in the time at the time of rebellion of Avshalom, and saying, here's what I've done, and where does it go from here? What do I do with my life? I'm 65 years old. I'm running away with a couple of my best friends outside Yerushalayim. My son's coming with an army to kill me. I mean, that doesn't happen to most of us, but similar issues come up. And that's the first half of that Tehillim, looking back. We talked about it being an anthology of other prakim, including that great line of Al Tashlicheni Leitzichna. The second half looks to the future. Here's David saying, this is what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to put that together to create a story of my life. And so I'm going to switch to the Nikud here. From Pasuk Yudalad. Bani Tamid Ayachel. And I will always pray. Safti al kol tilotach. And I will add to all of your praise. I'm going to focus on that idea. That he's adding. What is kol tilotach, all of God's praise, and what is he adding to that? This is what I'm going to do. I'm not here to be a military leader. I'm realizing that I'm not here to build the Beit Mikdash either. He spent the first half of Shmuel Bet working on building the Beit Mikdash, being told he can't do that. And the second half of Shmuel Bet trying to create the Mamlacha, the society that will build the Beit Mikdash. And that's all falling apart. But here's what I really think my destiny is to I will say, sing your, I will speak of your righteousness. Kol hayom shuatecha, all day. I will speak of your salvation. Piliyadati sforot, and literally that I don't have the numbers. It's infinite. It's more than sforot. Is not just I don't have the numbers. I don't have the math. I can't even calculate how great God is. But I will speak of it. Avo bigvurot Hashem Elokim. As kir tzidchacha levadecha, I will come, and that's a little bit ambiguous. Most mepharshim say it's avo, I will come bigvurot Hashem Elokim, with the gvura of God. You can read it the other way, it's avo bigvurot, I will come bigvurot, O Hashem Elokim. Because what is gvurot? What do we think about that? Our lifespan is 70 years. In the Gvurot, but if we have the strength, Shmonim Shana. So avob Gvurot, I will come in my old age. Now, David doesn't make that, right? He doesn't make it to 80. To say that 80 is the point of Gvurot, that if I have the Gvurot, I can make it to 80. That let me come with my in my Gvurot, in my still vibrant old age, let's put it that way, to praise you, as Kir Tzidcha Levadacha.
We also think of Yitzchak with Gvura.
Yes, that's more of the Sfirot idea. I don't know if I want to connect directly to that. That's the first way of reading it. Avo b'gvurot Hashem Elokim, that I come with the Gvurot of Hashem. I am praising Hashem's Gvura here. I'm reading that different. I'm reading it as Avo b'gvurot. Let me come b'gvura. B'may shmonim shana, by the time I get to be 80 years old, Hashem, O Hashem Elokim. And what is the name God of Hashem Elokim? With the name Adnut and Shem Avaya. It's an allusion to the first time it's used. First time it's used is by Abraham. When he's looking at his legacy. He's just gone to war and he doesn't have any children and he prays to Hashem, well, what's going to happen with everything I've done? And this has been in Bereshit. Chahadri Ma'ela. After these things, after the war with the four kings, the word of God came to Avram in a vision. Al tira Avram, anochi magen lach. Do not fear, Avram. I will save you. I will protect you. Oh, you will have a great reward. Yomar Avram, Hashem Elokim. That's that phrase. Yom Adonai and Hashem Avaya. Oh, God. Mati ten li, anochi holechari. What are you going to give me if I'm childless? The Meshek Beiti, who be a Meshek Eliezer, and the person who supports my house is Eliezer from Damascus. Yomer Avram, and Lina Tatazara. Avram says, you have not given me children, ni ben beiti, yereshoti. Someone of my household will inherit me. And the Hashem Elohim is praying to Hashem, what's going to happen with my legacy? Ni devar Hashem elav leimor, and then Hashem spoke to him and said, lo yushchazeh, this one will not inherit you. Ki im Hashem yitzei mi memecha, hu yirashecha. The one who will come from your loins, he will inherit you. Because Avram was concerned about his legacy, and David has the same concern because that phrase of Hashem yitzei mi memecha is what David had heard when he was told that he was not going to build the Beit Midrash. This is a nevuah that David had when he asked, can I build the Beit Midrash? And Nathan says, no. Verse 24. Yimlu yamecha, your days will be filled, b'shavchav ta'et avatecha, and you will rest through your ancestors. V'chemotia zeracha acharecha, asher yetzei mimeyecha. The same phrase, that I will establish your zera, who will come from your lines. V'chemotia mamachto, and his kingdom will be established. Hu yivneh b'ayit shemi, he's the one who will build the house. And his throne will be established forever. And David can't look at Avshalom as being that person. Because the way to establish Malachah is not by starting a rebellion. But Avshalom's clearly not going to build the Beit Midrash. Just like David couldn't build the Beit Midrash because he didn't get to the Mamlachah peacefully from Shaul. So whatever's going to happen, it's going to be generations later. David's legacy is going to be lost. So then it continues. Notes over here. Hello, Kim.
I have a little linguistic thing.
Uh-huh.
Look in that pasuk tetvav yisaper and seforot. It's a nice little.
That I will say it, but I can't.
The root of the word, the samach peresh, is probably related.
It is. I'm sure it is. And I think that makes the context of that I can't praise God, right? I'm going to, but I can't express it.
Yeah.
It is ineffable, right? I asaper tzidka techa v'liyadati safrot. I think you're exactly right. And that's the dilemma of trying to write Tehillah. Like, I can't praise God, mm-hmm. but I have to. What do I do?
They are related, you know, numbers and talking and telling.
Yeah, to count and stories. To recount in English.
Oh, you're right.
Definitely, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Numbers tell a story. They definitely clearly fit together and
somehow, yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Are you
Jack's a great storyteller. What could I say?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Math is how we tell stories about the universe. It's a language to describe how the world works.
Oh, that works. Okay.
Sorry. I think that's a good point, guys. That is, in fact, where I'm going to go with all of this. And I didn't think about that particular pasuk being the parallel there. But then he's looking back and then looking forward. What have I done? Elokim li manitani minyorai. God, you have taught me from my youth. Adhena aginifotecha, and until now I will, and from now on, I would say that. Agid, the future. Agid of Hatecha, I will still be talking about it. Again, the shift from doing to writing his memoir, as it were. But not his personal, but of his feelings to Hashem. This is David looking at, I'm going to write to him.
Sorry, Adhena is, isn't it until now? Or it's actually before?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, he's got the both between until now and then Agid in the future as well. You have taught me from my youth until now.
Okay.
Next phrase, Agid Niflotecha, I will speak your phrase. Yeah, the semicolon is not in the original. Okay. You know, so it's, especially looking at the ta'amim in Tehillim is very confusing. It's not standard. So tell where to put the phrases. You can try to figure that out. It's poetic. You can parse it how you want and then make your own meaning. And now, going back to that theme, until my old age and my seva, my hoary headedness, Elohim al tazveni, God, don't abandon me, echoing what he said in the first half.
What does it say about? What word? What's that? What's that word come from?
Where? Which word?
Vagama zikna the seva.
Seva?
Yeah. What's? I don't know that. I'm not familiar. Okay, with that.
The Torah is lifnei seva takum. And it says on the buses, right? Lifnei seva takum.
So this is for old age. Yeah, I've seen that on the bus.
Yeah. Get up for Phyllis. What it is.
I don't think you kind of say that. That Cain Zesha kind of chachma maybe, but that's certainly not, yes, the silver hair. Elkim al tazveni, don't abandon me now. Ad agid zracha lador. Until, don't abandon me until I can speak your, literally zora, your arm, your power, lador, to the generation. So my job here is to be part of this chain of generations. I need to continue on to the next generation. V'chol yavog v'rotecha. To all who come, I will speak of your Gura. And this idea that he wants, praying to Hashem, give me the strength to at least last so I can add a gizracha lador. I will teach your power to the next generation. We say that every day in Ashrei, right? It's part of a chain of generations of saying Hashem's praises. This is Ashrei. B'chol yom b'rachaka, I will praise. This is Tilal David. David saying this. I will bless you every day. Balashem kol ed and praise your name all the time. Gadol Hashem lo ma'od. I still remember Rabbi Amos Miller saying this. You know, great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Wow, I can just hear that in my head.
Now I heard it.
What?
Now that when you said that, I heard him say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gadol Hashem lo ma'od. God is great. Gulotov en cheker. But to his greatness, there is unsearchable. It's unable to be known. That's the same idea. I need to say Hashem's praise, but I can't. God is great and needs to be praised, but there's no way to describe his greatness. What do I do with that? And the answer is, dor l'dor, yishabach ma'asecha, one generation to the next, that we do what our ancestors did. We have this tradition of how we're going to praise Hashem, who praised your deeds, and they'll speak of your gura. And we talked about that actually, you know, 8 years ago. This Ashrei was the first Pectinum we looked at in this year. 8 years, almost 9 years. And this idea that expresses that we have to praise Hashem, but we can't. And I found a wonderful comment from the Nefesh HaRav, which was Heschel Schachter wrote this about Rav Soloveitchik shortly after Rav Soloveitchik passed away. And his memories of what Rav Soloveitchik did and his philosophy and how he acted. And this is from Nefesh HaRav. Source 27. With respect to davening, to prayer, there's a huge problem. How is it possible? How are we allowed to say God's praises? Maybe you're not going to do them all, right? God's infinite. How can we say anything? And literally, you're going to damn with faint praise, is the expression. Right? I can't stop saying Hashem's praise. It's like being in North Korea and stopping clapping. You can't start. How can we say anything about God? And I like reading Heschel Schachter because reading Rav Soloveitchik in Hebrew is impossible. There are all these long Latin polysyllabic words. This is very simple, people. I can do this. The chen tzerach, you know, we still also have to look. Al ma shem mevakshim et HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol hatzrachim ha-pu'utim v'katantanim ha-pratim shalano. And we have to think, how is it possible? Why do we can ask God for all these little petty details in our lives? V'chim midat derech eretzi? Is it a normal, is it a polite thing? Zo liyot nudnik? Like I said, I love what reading Shachter. Are we just nudging God? Are we all being nudniks every morning? Tzrichim la matir miyuchad. We need a matir. We need to ask permission to be able to pray to God. The nirash matir hu ashrei, and the matir that we say is ashrei. We can omrim oto gam kodem shachriv gam kodem mincha. That's what we say before shachriv, before mincha. Mariv is a reshut, but before we say our required tefillot, we say Ashrei. That's our matir. That gives us permission. And it seems to me the pasuk in Ashrei that is the matir that says it gives us permission to address God, even though we're completely inadequate for the task. Who decries the pasuk of Dor the Dor Yishabach Masecha, one generation to the next praises you. Kolomar, meaning Shekeinagu Avotenu Avotenu, that our ancestors did this. And we're walking in their, we're going in their footsteps. That's why when we say Baruch Shamar, the Baruch beforehand, we say Shirei David Adachan Alecha. We're going to use the songs of David. We're going to quote David, right? I'm not going to make this up on my own. We're just going to quoting Sefer Tehillim. That's what gives me permission to daven, the fact that David did that. Klomar, she'ein zeh midat atzmen. It's not our own idea. She'banu l'chadesh shirot v'shibachot. We're not writing our own praises of God. It's an ancient tradition. We dore the rope from one generation to the next. That tena lomar milabi milab pukeya shirav zimra. And we're going to simply quote, literally, word by word, the praise misefer tehillim shel David Abdacha. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to build on that.
You know, it doesn't answer the philosophical question of how can man.
No. But. I got Rav Putner over here and a wall of Hebrew text to answer, to address that side of it. So our start is David did it, so it's okay. That's right. Not a perfect answer because we got to say, how does David get the chutzpah to do that?
Right.
Okay. Well, I think he was you're 11. Right. Hold that thought. That's huge. Okay? Right. I mean, the puzzle that David says.
Danny, part of the prayers is we ask God to help us know what to say.
Hashem svatai tiftachu fi yagid tilatecha. Right? That's also from Tehillim, right? That's exactly David's point as well.
I know that.
That's, we do ask for that. And he's kind of got this, when he says, David says here, Hosafti al kol tilatecha, I am adding to all your praises, right? This is all of your, what does it mean, kol tilatecha? I think that is essentially is the question. What does that mean? Where does this come from? I'm going to try to address that. Then it continues. Let's see. Let's get Tet. Itchadcha Elokim Amarom. Okay, here's my praise of you. Your justice is exalted. It goes up to the heavens. Asher asita gedolot Elokim nichamocha. You've done great things. God is who is like you. Asher hiritani tzarot rabot varot. You have shown me terrible tsaras. Bad things have happened in my life. Tashuv t'chayeni, come back and bring me back to life. Utimota aretz, tashuv t'aleni, and bring me up from the depths of the land. Terev gedulati, increase my greatness. That is asking tisov t'chameni, turn around and comfort me. Now you've started with these. I've experienced terrible things in my life. Please bring me back over here. And the way the Alshev that it's the tzarot rabot that allow me to chayin, come back to life. Elohima asher heri tarit tzarot. It is a fact that you have shown me these tzarot, this trouble. She'al yitzurim elu, because of these trials and tribulations, these yisrim. Now, le'el ha'malam ha'ram. That's what allowed me to grow higher. I always quote to my kids, which Maureen said that pain is a feeling of weakness leaving the body. Grow from yisrim. I don't know if they appreciate the comment there, but the idea of yisrim that allow us to grow. Because the ma'alot, The way we develop through Yisrim, through the troubles that we faced, that's where we should teshuv ta'aleinu, because that is, they are gedolot, that what we achieve through our Yisurim allow us to grow. David's saying here, reading this pasuk as, you have shown me these sarot, who are sibasha teshuv ta'aleinu. That's the reason why that you will come and allow me to live. He's reading it in terms of B'nai Yisrael. It's from our loneliness in the state of Galut that will allow us to grow. Or again, you can read this as being adopted personally. In his life, he will grow from there. And we become purified through the tzarot. And we've talked about the idea of the Odyssey of why bad things happen to good people, tzadik v'ra'lo. So a number of different approaches to that. There isn't any answer. We don't claim there's an answer. But how do you look at it, an approach? And every situation is different, every person is different. But Tehillim overwhelmingly has the approach of Yom Tov L'Tova. This will get better. Things are bad, Hashem will come and save me, it will be great. This is a little bit stronger. The Alshech was reading this. This is the idea of Yisurim Shel Ahava. That's the suffering itself that makes things better. But we have to go through that in order to get to a better point. That the suffering makes us who we are. We said the same thing last time, talking about Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuva Me'ava is where we accept what we were before and turn it into the new us. Yisurim Shel Ahava, we take the Yisurim that we've gone through and turn it to who we are today. Like this little quote here, that the future will be the child of the past, even if a rebellious child. Still gets into us, even if we've changed it. And Rav Kook says about this idea of Yisurim Shel Ahava, comes up in Gemara a lot. It's a very strange idea, but I think that's the idea. Udati, Rav Kook says, Shetachli Yisurim Shel Ahava, the purpose of God loves us and therefore makes us suffer. Inam ki'im zakechet adam, it purifies us. Ramim erchal haruchani, elevate their spiritual level. It's the idea of a nisayon, a test. And Phyllis is kind of making a funny face on that. And it's, you know, there are points where this is an appropriate approach. To say that, you know, God doesn't give you a test that you can't handle. Here's how I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at it as a, again, there's no one single answer to the idea of the student. This is one that does exist and then can be very useful. That I will get through this, I will become stronger through this. And we talk about why were the Avot and Imahot barren? Hashem wants their prayers. It's that answer. It's that Hashem wants to see how we deal with the Nisayon. It's not that Hashem needs to know that, the God's omniscient. It's we need to know that. The fact that we've survived a Nisayon, a test, says that we can do this. That's how what it means to grow. And that's the Ramban. In Yana Nisayonhu, Ladati, in my opinion, Ramban says the idea of a test, in my opinion, that we have free will. What we do in any given situation. Whatever you do, you can decide how to react in a situation. So it's a test from the point of view of a person being test. I don't know how I'm actually going to react in this situation. It's about a moral situation, right? And then you make the right decision. But Hashem is doing the testing. The idea of Nisayon is to bring things from potential. I'm capable of doing this, but I don't know that. This brings it into actuality. Yolo schar maaseh tov. The reward for doing the actual thing. Daish no. That's healing of Aleph. Tzadik, Hashem tzadik yivchan. God tests the tzadik. And Gemara deals in with this in great detail. Shu yodea b'tzadik, sheyaseh ritzon no. V'chafetz tzadiko. And Hashem knows what's going to happen and knows that the tzadik is capable of doing the right thing. And we're all the tzadik in this case. It's a veyat b'nisayon. That's what the nisayon is there. Every time you see it, something called a nisayon, like Moshe tells Bnei Israel, you had to eat the man for 40 years, in order to test you, in order to afflict you. You should know that you're capable of having that level of faith, that you don't know where your next meal is coming from. You're going to follow God into the wilderness. The good of the one being tested. And then David continues and then concludes this parak in this description of, well, I've grown from my nisayot, my tzarot rabot, v'gam ani odcha b'kli navel, and I will also praise you with I'm going to translate not vowel. Some kind of screen instrument.
Harp or
harps and lyres and lutes
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how what the difference between all of these are. It's a nevel. Amitcha Elokai, I will sing your truth. As I'm ralacha bikinar, I will sing to you with the kinar violin. Israel, Holy One of Israel, Terenenas Svatai, Yizam Ralach. My lips will sing as I praise you, Nafshi, Asher Padita, and my soul itself, that you have saved me. This is what I'm going to do from here on in. Gam l'shani, even my lips, kol yom teget tzedekatecha, my lips will speak your tzedek all day. Boshu ki chafru mevakshei ratzi, as those who seek my, seek bad evil from me, they are embarrassed in this, and we talk about Boshu is the kind of theme of this parak, with the first pasuk, the middle pasuk, and this one, and that Hashem will not listen to them, but listen to me. I'm looking at this pasuk of Gam ani odcha, that even I, not so much also, but that idea of what is the ani is redundant in Hebrew. It could be just odcha. So it's like the pasuk of Vani tefilat tilacha. And we say in Matov, we say in the morning, Hashem. And it's read as a sense of that my ani is my tefillah. My ego, my sense of self is my tefillah. I am my prayer, is what I need to feel at the end. Same thing here, ani odcha, I am the praise. It's who I am. And that's what's gam l'shoni kol yom, and I will express that, because I have to express that. I can't just keep it inside. I need to say it out loud. I need to express it, and I can't. It's inevitable. And we'll quote a nice little Hasidic word from Nachman Bratzlav. I can quote Hasidim once in a while, right? Lo daila adam sheyesh lehishtad kut balev. It's not enough for a person to feel that desire in the heart. Elahu tzarich lo tziat kisufav b'svatav. You have to express that out loud. With words. That's why we have this organized tefillah, because we don't have words for this sort of thing. So we're given the words to do that. Because the desire in the heart, nefesh nukudah hebakoa, because then the spirit of what we're trying to say is only potential. And we say about the nisayon, it's only the potential, it's not real. As soon as you say what you're desiring out loud, then one's soul, in this sense, goes from being potential to being real. We need to be able to express the words. And that's possible, David, saying, because you listen to me. And now you're going to save me now, and I will go on to be able to write these words. So then, at the rest of B'nai Yisrael, for the rest of the generations, we'll be able to quote my Sefer Tehillim. Boshu, that my enemies are Bushar and Bash, Emi Boshu Vaniazana. That's why I will sing. And the Asha continues on this, that the key is he wants them to be Bushar. He doesn't want them punished. He wants them to realize that they're wrong and come back. Because David can't just retire and start writing to him. He needs to write this as representative of all Klal Yisrael. Needs to bring everybody back to him. He is the Na'im Zemir Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel, as you've translated. Aki Boshu Merata, that I want my enemies to be embarrassed about their evil. Ofen She'elecha Yeshuvu, so that they come back to you, Liyachu Al Yadi, and I don't want them to be punished on my back because of me. We certainly see that by Avshalom, where David works his hardest to make sure Avshalom's not killed. That fails, but he doesn't want this war to happen. He needs everybody to get back together again. That's his destiny. Keshek Atavnu, like we said, Avshak says, Ki gam kol ha'am asher im Avshalom boshu acharechem. That after the civil war is over, all the people who went with Avshalom came back to David, and they hurried to bring the king back, put him east to Yehuda before all the Yehuda who was with David. We'll see that at the end of this. Everything comes back. And that's the end of this kapitel Tehillim. Because I will achil ayachil b'chatamid, I will praise you all day. That's where I'm going from here. And I want to look at that pasuk here. Ani tamid ayachil hosati kol tefilotech. Let me talk about that. David is adding on to all the praise. We just said you can't do that. Where does David get that from? And the problem is that phrase from Ashrei Ligdulato in Cheker. His greatness is unsearchable. As Rav Nachman says, we have to express our tefillah and feel what we feel, but we can't. So we're stuck in a dilemma. Famous Gemara in Brachot about the problem. Verse 38. Somebody that was davening for Elman with a Shliach Tzibur in front of Rav Chanina. Omar. And he said in his Chazar HaShatz, Akel Hagadol Hagibor Banora Hadir Vazizuz Yarui Vachazak HaMitzvah Vaday VaNichbar. He went on, right? Normally it's just, you know, Hagadol Hagibor Banora, and he went on and on with his Chazonis. Kimtin lo ad desiyem. So Rav Chanina waited until he finished. Kisiyem, when this person was finished with his davening, Amar lei, Rav Chanina says to him, Tiyamtuna chuli shabchi demarach. You're done now? You said all the praises of your master? Lama li chuli hai. What's the point of all of that? Anan hani tlat darminan. We say three, which is gadol, Gadol Gibor Nara, because that's a quote. That's from the Torah. Moshe says that. He loved Amrinu Moshe Rabbeinu Baraita. If Moshe hadn't said that in the Torah, Ba'atu Anshe Knesset Gadola Teknin Hu L'Betfila, and the Anshe Knesset Gadola had not said, this is what we're going to use in the prayer, Lo Avini Yechol L'Meimar L'Hu. We would not be allowed to say that either. You said all this and then you left? You can't do that. Mashal. Here's a parable. The melech, right? You get parables, you gotta have kings in them. The melech pasar badam. Chayol olo elef alafim dinare zahav. A king who had 1,000,000 gold coins, or you mekalsin oto b'shel kesef. And you go up and praise him for the little silver that is small change. Uginayu lo. That's damning with faint praise. Whatever you say is going to be inadequate. So Rav Huttner tries to explain this. This is the Pachad Yitzchak in Pesach. Yeah, and he's talking about the similar pasuk about Kol Tehillatecha that it says in Kilim Tet Asapra Kol Tehillatecha. I will say all of your praise. What does that mean? Well, like, how can I praise God? Unfortunately, this is a wall of Hebrew text, but we'll try to go through it. I'll have Rabbi now. Chaltam shel diburim ele. The beginning of how to look at all of this. Mishureshet hi is rooted by mamaro shel David ha-melech shalom. In the words of David, when he says, Asapra kol tilatecha, I will say all of your praise, even though I don't have the safrut to do it. And if you look at all the mefarshim over there, that have a lot of difficulty with this pasuk, until they get to the point where it's just too hard to understand what it means by, I'm going to say all your praise. They decide, that we can't take the word all literally. We're going to eliminate that. We're just not going to read that word there. Because completing all of God's praises is explicitly impossible. You can't do it. I'm not with that tenor, but according to our opinion, I would read that literally. You have to understand what that means. Read it literally. Oh, David is the expression of all of God's praises. And this is the way things go. We see in Tanakh praises of God. B'tshuah dimui shel meshalim. That are metaphors. They're images. Gon, Yoshev HaShemayim, Dimuy L'Shevach HaRamut. Let's talk about God dwelling in heaven, even though there's no guy on his throne in the sky. But it's an idea of it's a metaphor for exaltedness. Or Aryeh, Dimuy L'Shevach HaGurah, compared to a lion, meaning strength. There are a lot of metaphors. There's a lot of poetic language in Tanakh. I don't know, things like that. So this is what the Vilna Gaon says about why we have metaphors. Because there's something better about the metaphor. God dwells on heaven. Unless we just say the word straight. God's exalted. What's the difference? Because there are limits to the words. We use a word literally, prosaically, then it has a definition and it's limited. That's not present in the metaphor. Metaphors allow us to express things that we can't express. That's what poetry is there for. We need to express things that we can't. Poetry is what allows us to put into words things that are ineffable, that are not able to be put into words. That's the point of poetry. Because if we just use the word literally, God's exalted. Using a word about God is in the image of the Gemara praising him for his silver when you should be talking about the gold. It's inadequate. Any words we use are going to be inadequate. But metaphorically, God dwells in the heavens. That any limitation there, since we know it's not literal, is not in the praise that we mean. Because the description is a sensory image. That any lack in our praise of the gold, it's inadequate. We know the praise is inadequate. We can explain it. It's because we can't really find an appropriate image or metaphor. Because the image isn't literal, then I know it's limited and I don't feel it. And it's not an insult to be saying this is God's praise and that's it. It's the vagueness of the metaphor that makes it acceptable. I'm not trying to define God's praise. Welcome, Shef Hughes, who betor mushpat nibli tmuna. When I'm trying to praise with something that's explicit, literal, prosaic, without imagery, are you mishamesh gvul etzem hashevach? Then it's limiting. Then I can't stop. Because then I'm saying, well, that's it, and that's all. Welcome, Shef Hughes, bab betzur shel tmuna. But when the praise is as an image, a metaphor, that the limitation is in our imagining. My limitation is in my words. And I'm making that explicit by using a metaphor. Using poetry says I cannot express the words. Not literally. And I'm going to try to get the feeling of it.
Dana, can I add something?
Sure.
One time one of my very brilliant teacher whose background was in math said that when you look at an artist's work, a true artist is showing you something you can't see.
Can't see.
In other words, it's like you'll see a picture of a tree and the artist is using a tree, but is using it in such a way that it's expressive of feelings or growth or whatever. It's beyond just the image of a tree.
So right. I think it's exactly right.
See, like a camera would just take a picture.
Right, and I think exactly that's the Graz point here, is that's why we use poetry, is because there are things we need to say.
Yeah.
But it's not expressible in words. So that's what the imagery, the art in general, is that's what art is. That yeah. If we can express it directly, then if we express it specifically and precisely, it's math. If we can, it's poetry.
And the reason we have to say so many things is because we know none of them are right. We're just trying to.
We will do that a lot. So we're going back and we don't try to say all the possible things we can, because as soon as we stop, it's inadequate. So we're going to just use images, metaphors. We're going to use poetry to praise Hashem. Because it says explicitly, I don't have the words. Right? When we do that, in Hagbalat Nogat L'Klal B'Gufo Shel Sheva, it's clearly the limitation there is not in the praise that we're trying to make. So that's the Gra. We talked about Rav Halalo Shel Gra. So from Rav Putner continues, from the words of the Gra, Lomdim Anu Kama Yafet Kacham Shem Mashalim. Here we learn how important, how wonderful that Mashal, how poetry is, G'bei Shevachav Shel Makal, in terms of praise Hashem. And then he says, so who's going to say, who is going to say those images? Who can praise Hashem? Muzia, Hashem Eloli Bo, Oto. And who feels confident? Omar ki biado, limtzot et melo hashefa shel tzirim et munot v'mashalim. Who could possibly say all the praises of God? It's not all the praise of God, that's not limited, but all the possible images in poetry. That's possible, all the images that are possible, metaphors throughout the universe. We call it kum kulo, this is what I'm saying, out of all creation, there's only one heart that could possibly do this. Vashel Knesset Yisrael. The heart of Knesset Yisrael was created to praise God. That's what we do. And he quotes from Yeshaya, Amzu Yitzarti Li Tilato Yisaperu. This nation that I created for me, that they should speak my praise. That's what we exist for. So Yitzirah Shel Amazeh, who see poor Tilato Shel Makom. That's what we're there for. That's what we exist for, is to praise Hashem. We also exist to learn Torah, but that's kind of the same idea here. So that's Knesset Yisrael as a whole. That's our job, that is to say, to sing Hashem's praises. And the call there, he's saying, is not in terms of God's praises, but it's ours. Everything that we do should be of a praise of Hashem. Zuhi Madrega Toshel David HaMelech. So what is David doing there? David is our representative for saying that. Hashem Nagel Shvachov Shemakal. This is David's role in terms of praising Hashem. David's heart, as expressed in Tehillim. And here we get to that same, you read Tehillim from two different perspectives, as being David's life and as being the accumulated poetic genius of the Jewish people over the centuries and millennia. You can read them both ways. Plus, Lev David is Lev Knesset Yisrael, as expressed in Tehillim. Zeh Pirushama Peshut Shel Milim. Ne'im Zimrot Yisrael. And that's what it means to say David is the Ne'im Zimrot Yisrael. Putting it there. Kloma. Ikeven shakola anyanim ashayit akin lehem. Shamesh l'mashalim. Shprachot shal makam. So all the things that we can use as poetic images to praise Hashem, toshim heim makamon b'lev zeh. They have a place in our heart. Hare memele shalev hazeh higi ad v'lo tachlit ha-mutar. The kol tzedakah is everything that is possible, that we're allowed to say. And praise Hashem. And that's what David's trying to express. I can't praise Hashem. So I'm going to use I'm going to bring poetry into that to be able to use to say the things that I can't say. He's expressing all Hosafti Akol Tilatecha, is I'm expressing all possible praise. Anything that's a possible for human being to say, I want to be the one to say it. Use every aspect of existence as a metaphor to verbalize the ineffable. That's what poetry is. And that's what we do today. Instead, we start our Barasha Amar with Shirei David Avdecha. We're going to quote him, but we're not stuck there. We can go on from there. So our printer continues. And this is when David HaMelech. Uforesh u'magadir atzmoto davka pozuk zeh shel asapra kol tilatecha. David defines himself as the one who will speak kol tilatecha. Adgashahi, on the point here, kana davka kol b'shvutah. It means all. Lomar, kol shetach heter shel hashmot shvachav shemakom. Every possible way that I can praise Hashem, mishtara hiblavi. That's what it is, exists in my heart. Lo'od, more than that. Eshe kol yachid b'yachid Yisrael, that every Jew, shenafsho mitromemet b'kirbo, whose soul is exalted within them, if you're inspired, by reading, if you're inspired by reading Tehillim, Israel. You need to join with the Shliach Tzibur of all Israel. That's David. David is the Shliach Tzibur of all of us. In order to achieve a place there, to be part of that permissible praising Hashem. David's our Shliach Tzibur, we're davening with him. That's why we say, right before Yishtabach is part of Nishmat, Rosh Amar is where we're saying, okay, now I'm going to praise Hashem with the words of David. Yishtabach is the end of that, where we're going to go on from there. We say, Hei Chovak Yisurim, Mefanech Hashem Akenu, that is the, it is required of all creatures, L'hodol, L'alel, L'shabech, L'fer, to praise Hashem, Al Kol Divrei Shirot Tishmachot, David Ben Yishai Adacha. In addition to all the poetry and the praise of David Ben Yishai. Hai Al Uvan Tzmichut. That Al means next to that. Right, we're going to start from David and move from there. Tzmichut Zeh Hofeket, Kol Kilus Prati Shel Yachid Mi'Yisrael, that being Samuch, relying on and next to David's Tilim, turns everything that we say, every individual prayer of every Jew, to an inseparable part of the Kolut, Hakilusim Shel Asaprak Kol Tzatecha, we become part of that Sefer Tehillim as a whole. I thought that was very inspired.
Could you read all that we're grateful for David's Tefillot? Like,
Al, he's reading it as it on top of.
I know. But
it's our obligation to praise Hashem al kol divrei tishbichot.
Right.
On top of those.
Danny, what I see is over and above.
Over and above.
Okay. Yeah.
That we're certainly starting there, and we're going to develop that with the same idea that we can't express it, we have to express it, and that's what the metaphors are there for.
Okay.
And I will
also have this whole thing that we're supposed to sing Shir Hadash every day. And even though we're saying the same words, somehow we have to sing a new song.
That's a new idea, yeah. How do I get that once in a while? I mean, you know, usually I'm just muttering to myself as fast as I can and I'm done. But I can't claim to be able to be inspired every single day. But you got to try to think about it. I'm going to finish with Henry Bieberfeld was a chemist, actually. He wrote this very poetic book about David, about how we look at Sefer Shmuel about the person, but really we should be looking at David as the author of Tehillim. That's the real David, as it were. And the way he puts it, and again, he's trying to express the ineffable, so you can't say it in words. It's a very metaphor. David's mind, responsive as no other, found in the omnipotent presence of God, the one experience became the dominant force in his life, the atmosphere and living space of his existence. In Psalms, we see all that we look for in vain in books that describe David's outward life. Triumphs and tragedies, periods of calm and unrest, supreme confidence and hopeless despair, mystic surrender and mortal afflictions, universal love and implacable wrath, all find expression in the Psalms. If words like thunderbolts, the whisper of breeze, raging fire, soothing rain, fragrant flowers of corrosive acid, span the whole range of human existence. That's what Tehillim are. Psalms speak of all men of all times, grief and joy, triumph and despair, assuming the Psalms the life of their own. Here David's life story becomes world history, story of mankind through the ages, and through it resounds the dominant theme, the ever-recurring finale of the hope of redemption. Individual and nation become one. And that's the way we look at Sefer Tehillim. And that's what David is going from here. Not the David HaMelech, it's David as the Israel, Israel is the way he will be remembered. I will stop here. I thought that was very poetic.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Yay, David.
Yay.
Yeah.